Just hang in with me today. I'm going to be a little different. I hope. I don't know if I will be or not, but I had this thing. I've really been seeking the Lord this week, really praying. Gideon, we'll see you next week. I'll see you Tuesday night, council. Okay, love you. See you later. They had to go do something. And I just been seeking the Lord, and it's just like he was pinging thoughts to me, and it was like, I felt the Lord like saying, you know, I don't have like a message. I'm just going to sit down and just preach. I may, because the Lord ties everything together. But I just had these thoughts, and I said, Lord, I'm not going to try to preach this week. I just want to share my heart. Is that okay? Yeah. You know, sometimes you preach, and sometimes, really, you get in pastor mode. And I've been, you know, I do think about you guys during the week. Did you know that? Yeah. I think about you, Jennifer. I've been thinking. I hadn't seen you in a couple weeks, thinking you and Jamie, wondering how you're doing. Sometimes I fret about you guys. You know, I worry about you. I got certain people I worry about all the time. I'm not supposed to, I know, but I think about you. And part of it's because I'm a pastor and the Lord loves you and cares about you. He cares about your brothers and sisters and your family. And so I think about you and I pray. And, you know, people are walking through a lot of different things in life. We're all at different places, aren't we? Amen. The standard for our life is perfection. Now, stay with me. Don't leave me. Because Jesus is the standard for our life, is he not? Doesn't the Bible say we're to conform to him in everything?
Yes.
Now, how many know that's going to take eternity? Right? And how many know we're not all there? Like, there's nobody that's perfect in their execution. When I talked about you've already got it, you know, and I said, you do have everything. The Bible says so. All things are yours. It's yours right now. The thing is, when you say that and then you look at your life or you look at other people's lives, you realize there's not a connection. Like, whoa, wait a minute. But Lord, they're not walking in this. You could talk about things like finances or healing, but you could even get into something so simple as peace of mind. Because we'd all agree that you're supposed to have peace of mind, aren't you? Do you think as a Christian it belongs to you, peace of mind? Well, how many of you did not walk in peace of mind this week? Let's forget about healing for a second, right? Right? You see what I'm saying? Well, that peace belongs to you. It already belongs to you, but we're not perfected in peace. I walk in peace. You know, for me, I walk in peace best when I'm seeking Jesus, like when I'm really seeking him. Because it seems like when you're seeking the Lord, it isn't always that your troubles go away. It's he gives you another perspective about your troubles. Right? You know, Paul said, belly empty, belly full, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's the Christ that's strengthening you through that trial. I had a 5-year physical trial in my body, like I was believing God for something, and I got it. But I walked through it. I didn't get it. I had questions about things But I got it. But you know, nothing we're walking through in the end is going to matter if the Lord is with you. If you're walking in the strength of Christ, the Bible says that God is best glorified when you're at your weakest. That's true too. And I'll tell you why. Because when you're at your weakest, when you're under attack, friends, family, sickness, life comes at you, we know that we're dependent on the Lord. Amen. So we fall on our face. That's why I love this set this morning, the singing, the worship, because to me it's owning your dependency. Hey, and listen, if dependency was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Braden, Jesus said, I can do nothing without the Father. I hear and I judge, I hear and I speak. Whatever he tells me, Jesus didn't even heal anyone unless he saw the Father doing it. There were times when Jesus would go up on a mountain and the people would just come to him. And this amazing thing said in the scripture, it said, the presence of the Lord was there to heal. I thought the presence of the Lord was always there to heal. Didn't you? He said it was there. the anointing, and Jesus healed everybody many, many times, showing the will of God, but he did that under the authority and the will of the Father, everything he did. And that's why he had such an anointing. Jesus made statements like, I don't even judge anybody. I'm learning that, not to judge people, just to give grace. I've been saying, God, I can only give them grace. Oh, Jesus. I can only give them grace because you've given grace to me. What do I have to give anybody but grace? Jesus said, I don't judge anybody. I don't judge anybody. My Father is going to judge. And yet in the end, Jesus will judge. There's one of the gems, the spiritual gems, Jennifer, that Jesus gave me this week. It won't be as powerful to you unless it explodes in revelation like it exploded in me. Because the Holy Spirit told me this. And I got something to say about that, about the importance of hearing the Spirit when you're reading the Bible. Otherwise, it's a dead letter. It won't do anything for you. You'll wonder why God doesn't answer your prayers and why you're not walking in any power and why this person's succeeding and you're not, and why no one's succeeding around you in the Lord. Why we fail the Lord so much. It has to do with that. Here's the thought, the spiritual gem. Rest is the first essential. It's your first act of faith. Your first act of faith is to do nothing. That's what Larry just read in Ephesians 2. We're not saved by our own works and our own doing. Your first act of faith is to do nothing and say, I can't save myself. I'm lost. Amen. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, because I can't change this thing in my life. Lord, you got to change it. And you go and you fall before Jesus and say, Lord, I give you, I surrender my heart. I surrender this sin. I surrender myself to you. And you do nothing. There's a book out said faith, or I think it's something like this. It says faith plus nothing equals salvation, or something like that, you know. Faith plus nothing, or Jesus plus nothing equals everything. We are not meant to walk as Christians in this life in our flesh. Because you can't do it, Mike. No matter how hard you try. You can't conquer your anger, your temper, your depression. You can't conquer it. You can try. You can try to be obedient to God and obey 1,000 laws and 1,000 rules. It will not save you. We're dependent. And the proof of the pudding, you read the Gospel of John, Jesus was dependent on God. He was dependent on God. I'm encouraged by this sometimes because I mentioned last week, is this okay, this talk? Because that's what I just want to talk today. I'm encouraged because sometimes I feel like I'm David and I can jump over a wall and run through a troop, like I got a spiritual sword in my hand and nothing can stop me. And other times I feel so insecure and so small and unsuccessful. I am small, I'm 5'8", weigh about 145. And I know when I seek the Lord, the Bible says, as long as they sought the Lord, they prospered. Right? As long as they sought the Lord, they prospered. My message today is to encourage you to seek God for yourself. Don't rely on your pastor. I mean, he does what he's supposed to do as his pastor. You seek God. Jesus loves you, and Jesus plus nothing equals everything. The problem is, Jace, you prayed for me, and that was such a perfect prayer. It talked about Brad getting out of the way, right? We want to add our doings to the doings of the Lord, and we mess it up. We want to get our reputation mixed in. The Word of God says that Jesus made himself of no reputation. I don't come to do my own will. He said, here's how you can know my doctrine's true. He says, I get my doctrine from the Father, and you know my doctrine is true because I'm not seeking my own glory. I'm not seeking my own reputation. I'm not doing this for me. As I hear the Father, I just say what the Father says. I'm doing it for Him. So my reputation is completely tied up in Jesus. So if my disciples leave me, they weren't mine to begin with. If I'm crucified on a cross, it wasn't my life to begin with. My life belongs to God. I surrender. My life is not my own. Didn't our brother, dear Paul, say, my life is not my own? Well, folks, you won't master this in a day. We're imperfect. Not in position, Mike Beaver, not in position. You're perfectly in position. God sees you like he sees Jesus. I don't care what you've sinned and what you've done and what you... He sees you like he sees Jesus. But he already sees down in the eons of eternity. He sees your perfection. But he's working on it now. That's why we have problems. Oh, I want to stand up so bad. I'll do better if I sit down. Oh, God. That's why we have problems when some people say, well, we're all going to sin a little every day. And other people say, no, you're not. God died for your sins. You're not supposed to sin. The reality is that you're free from sin right now. You should not be knowingly sinning. There shouldn't be something in your life that God's convicting you of that you don't get rid of because Jesus gave you the power to get rid of it and to walk away from it. I'm not saying people don't do that, and I'm not saying they're not brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm not saying they're not precious and important to me and to you and the body, because people do struggle. But you have that ability. But there's tons of unknown stuff and weaknesses about me that I don't see until the Lord shines in and says, dude, you are selfish. Look at how I used to treat Pam, not even knowingly, so selfishly. I acted like she was my personal slave. I'm sorry to admit that. This is years ago, years ago. And she's so sweet and nice, she'd let me. And the Lord had to show me, hey, knucklehead, that's my daughter. I want you to love her like Christ loved the church. This is the gem God gave me this week, Jeff Houck. He said, husbands, learn to love your wife. Start there. That's where you learn what love is. Right there. Paul said it in Ephesians 5. He said, husbands, lay down your lives for your wife, just like Christ did for the church. And Rod, I feel for you. I do. I don't know what it's like. It must be something. Mother Teresa said when people, they'd come to her and say, I want to go to India and be with you. She said, hey, don't do that. She said, take that $1,000 you were going to spend on that airline ticket and give it to the poor or give it to the Mercy's mission and go home and learn to love your family. And when you learn and you love your family, start loving your neighbor as yourself. Just go love your neighbor. Mike, you're good at that. You're good at that. You are good at it. Husbands, learn to love your wives and lay down your... If you love your... That's Jesus there. You know, husbands, your wife, that's Jesus. God sees what you say to her. He sees how you talk to her. You wonder why you're not happy? Wives, honor and love your husbands. Show them respect. Encourage them. My wife is such an encouragement to me. It's two-way street. I'm a man. I like picking on the men more. But we learn to love at home. The Word of God is personal, and it's true, and it's sure. But you have to make it your own. It has to be personal to you. I got so much to say. The Lord was talking to me. I don't know if I'll get back to my chair or not. I might. I try. I was the best I've ever done. It wasn't as best I ever did. Maybe I'll get back there. The Lord was talking to me today about everyday courage. Everyday courage. I was talking to Pam about some of my failures, and I definitely fail. I'm not perfect. I'm seeking Jesus. My failures or my imperfections or my shortcomings drive me to Jesus because I know the answer is there, the fullness. The Bible says, hey, all the fullness is in him. I just watched episode 1 of The Chosen because the kids are going to watch it tonight at our house at 6 o'clock. We're going to play kickball, and we're going to watch The Chosen. And I saw the first episode. And Nicodemus, and this is, some of it's fictional and some of it's based on truth. And you just have to know that. It's kind of like, what was that one book, the one where the Holy Spirit was a woman? I don't remember. It's The Shack. Or, you just have to understand, it's not the Bible. If you take it as scripture, you're making a big mistake, right? It's an allegory. It's a parable. You may not like it. That's fine. But they're not saying it's the scripture. They're trying to teach something. And in the Chosen, Nicodemus went in to cast out a demon out of this woman. And I'm sorry, the kids aren't here, most of them, so I won't give it away. And he went in there and he was incanting. He had smoke and he was a big spiritual leader and he had all the answers. And he went in there and then this demon looks up through this woman and he looks at him and says, "You have no power here." And he's like, "Oh, I got," and he took tail and got out of there. You know why? Because he didn't have any power there. And he went back and he did just what religious people do, just what I do when I'm being religious. What do you think he did? He made up reasons why he couldn't do it. And worse, he blamed her. That's just like religious. Unfortunately, some Christians, not you guys, you're the best. Right? Amen. We don't do that here. We don't do that here. Amen? Someone say, "I don't do that." He made up an excuse, and I'm sure I've done it. "Well, she's a special kind of evil. She has all these weird spirits." I just know it was Nicodemus. But he had to protect his spiritual reputation. Everybody honored him, and they thought he was something. So he had to protect that. Isn't it cool that Jesus made himself of no reputation? He was willing to go hang out with lepers, which nobody hung out with lepers. He was willing to let prostitutes come in and lay at his feet. He didn't care. One time I felt like the Lord was telling me to go into a gay bar to witness. And I'm like, "No way. Someone will think I'm gay, Lord." Because they thought I was a sinner. I mean, I didn't want to do it. I don't think I did. Say, "Lord, I can't do that. Why not? I don't want anybody thinking I'm gay, Lord. I'm a Christian. I died for those people. You got to rub shoulders with them." I like that you rub shoulders with them. But Nicodemus didn't have power, and he made excuses, and he blamed it on her. She's a special kind of bad, and even the Lord couldn't help her. And I loved that the ending scene, and Braden, close your ears. Close your ears. You don't want to hear this. You're going to hear it tonight. All of a sudden, this man walks up at the end of the, and he just puts his hand on her hand. And you could just tell that, like there was an anointing on it in the movie. You knew it was Jesus. And he says, and she was going to drink, because that's what people do when they can't solve their problems. They take drugs and they drink. That's what they do. Some people don't want to drink. They just feel like they have to. Some people want to. And he says, "You don't need that no more." Well, he freaks her out. Because it's the first time she's ever looked at love, right in the eyeballs. This is love saying, "You need to stop this. This is not helping you. Let it go." And she don't want to let go. It's her God. It's her crutch. And she don't want to let go. And he puts his hand on her. And she gets out of there and he follows out. And as he chases after her and quotes a scripture that she knew that her dad used to read to her when she was a little girl, she stops, and he walks up to her, and he puts his hands on her, and you know he had the power. He had the presence of God. God was with him. What does Emmanuel mean? It means God with us, and that's where the scene ends. That's all I saw, but you knew. That was Mary Magdalene, by the way. He cast out 7 demons. I was thinking this week, another gem here. I think it's gems. They spoke to me, so maybe I'm calling them spiritual gems. I've been around a lot of religious people and then different flavors of Christians, right? I'm not even talking about like Mormons Hindus or something like that, or Islam. I've been around Christians, and I'm like, "Lord, I find it amazing that every Christian thinks they're right." I was around some, you know what I mean? Like their doctrine, like, how do we know we're right? How do I know I'm right? I don't know that. Lord, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, look, let me say this just so you know where I'm coming from. This is the Word of God. Amen. This is right. Jesus is Lord. I'm not talking about some new age revelation or something goofy or crazy, like some private interpretation. The Bible says this is not of a private interpretation. So I say, Lord, how do I know that my interpretation isn't private? How do I know it's coming from you? How can I know? I just ran into certain Christians, and the first thing they did, they came up to me and they tried to convince me about their way. My spirit tightened up. You know what I mean? You ever get that way? When someone's trying to convince you that their way is the way and your spirit tightens up, I'm like, Lord, let me relax. You're in me. If they're telling me the truth, I'll receive it. And if they're not, and I said, Jesus, you're in me. And as soon as I thought that and said that, I noticed that guy's voice started shaking a little bit. Because the Lord was in me. And he's talking to Jesus if he's talking to me. And Jesus lives in me. Doesn't he live in you? I just released it. Said, you're in me, Lord. And the guy's talking to me. His voice started shaking. Because I'm not saying anything. I'm just standing in the presence of God while he's talking. And I'm praying, saying, Lord, how do we know then? I listened to a friend of mine has a YouTube channel, and he's just a common, everyday Christian dude. That dude has more followers than I do. The church does. And I just love it because God's grace is on him, and he debates Islam. He debates theology. He just, you know, he has fun. He loves to do it, and I'm so happy to watch him do it, and he's succeeding, and it tickles me. And he has all these different views. He had a Unitarian on there, and the Unitarian, they don't believe that Jesus is God. Okay, and there's tons of scriptures to say he is, and we know that Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. He's the Son, and he has a relationship of submission to the Father, just like your son is what you are, but he's under your authority because he is, if you have a man, you produce a man, right? And he's under your authority. Jesus is God. He's under the Father's authority, right? That's why his Father's greater than me. He's Dad. I'm the Son. But he's the Son of God. He is God. But this guy didn't believe that. And I'm just like, Lord, how do all these... He had so much church history. He had so much philosophy and trying to pull all this stuff in. And then I was thinking about this group of people that I was around and all the religiosity and... Stay with me, please. Just stick. I want to get at something. And it cannot be noon. There's no way. I got to get this thought. And I only have this much left. Oh, I meant like the rest. No, I'm kidding. I said, Lord, you know, and God said, Brad, he's talking to me. He said, it's not about your intellect. And it's like, you want to say, well, you know, doctrine's not important. Yeah, doctrine's important. Of course it's important. But everybody has all these different doctrines. And God was showing me, and he gave me tons of scriptures. He says, Brad, it's what I teach you. It's what I breathe on you. Paul prays for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I'm not talking about in private interpretation. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit in you making it personal in your life where he's talking to you because we're dependent on him. They had to gather that manna every day in the wilderness. They were going around gathering it every day. We should be hungry, especially our problems and things in our life. We should be gathering that manna every day saying, God, what are you going to teach me? Because I'm not where I want to be. My standard is perfection. I'm so far from that standard. I got to get closer to God. Just like the songs are saying, I got to get closer to God. Lord, I need some manna. Give me some more and more. I want to be a manna. I call myself a word nerd, right? I'm after the word. But the word alone is not enough. God is word, but God is also spirit, is he not? So we need the Word and the Spirit. God says, Brad, the only thing that matters at the end of the day is what I teach you. Amen. And that's where people go wrong because they seek after me with their intellect and some are geniuses. But when you seek after God, after your intellect like that, everybody disagrees. They have 1,000 doctrines. Jesus wasn't wrong about anything, was he? Because there was complete unity with the Word and the Spirit. He wasn't legalistic and yet he was holy. People at the bars and prostitutes flocked after Jesus, and yet he was the holiest man that ever lived. And they didn't, when he got around him and bumped up against him, they didn't make him dirty. It didn't lessen him. It didn't do anything to diminish him. In the Old Testament, when the leper came, the lepers would cry out, "Unclean, unclean," and you'd run away from them. And Jesus ran right up to them and put his hands on them, said, "You're clean. There's nothing in you that can make me dirty because God lives in me. So I'm going to bump shoulders with you. Either your devils are going to go, right? Or you're going to leave me. You're going to get away from me." Because it was rivers of life coming out of Jesus. Because he would get up in the morning, a great while before dawn, he'd go talk to his father and say, "God, what are we going to do today?" It wasn't us four and no more. It wasn't, "I'm going to go out and burn, make a living and struggle all day and come home and take a nap." And he said, "Lord," God continually filled him with power and vitality and energy because he was doing the business of God. I mean, it doesn't mean you don't have to work. It means we seek God. And the Bible says in Isaiah 54:13, "All your children shall be taught of the Lord." Taught by God. Danny, you're supposed to be being taught by God. And I know you are. And there's so many proofs, and God gave me so many scriptures that prove that. Remember when Jesus asked Peter, he says, "Who do men say I am?" ... He says, "Who do you say that I am?" Please stay with me, because I got this one point, I got to get it. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" He says, "You're Christ. You are the Son of God. You are the Christ. You're the Messiah of God." He said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. My Father in heaven showed you that." And the reason it don't work a lot of times and there's no power, because our Father in heaven isn't showing it to us. We have 1,000 denominations and 1,000 doctrines, but we're not going to heaven and saying, "God, teach me this stuff," because it's not living in me. And our kids backslide because we don't reveal it to them. We don't show them how to seek Jesus. We don't show them how to mix faith in the Word. God's not teaching us, and we get depressed, bored with it. Christ becomes boring. It's anything but an adventure. It's a drudge because we can't live it in our flesh. We barely drag ourselves to church half the time. It's not exciting until the Lord starts teaching you and he starts showing you. I could give you several examples. Lord woke me up last night. I was up at 3 a.m. and he was showing me some things I could have done better. You could call them failures. Do you know the Bible says that correction is the way of life? Did you know that? Most people will not be corrected. "Who do you think you are, bless God? I've been a Christian for 40 years. Who do you think you are to correct me?" Well, I ain't trying to correct anybody. The Lord might use me to correct somebody. Correction is the way of life. You make mistakes all the time. You're not perfect. You are not perfect. And you know what? You teach doctrines and you don't provide the power of that doctrine, then you ought to be humble about it. And say, "Hey, we're all on a journey. I know this is truth, but I haven't mastered it, but I'm after it." Healing perplexes me. I got to be honest. I believe in it with all my heart. I walk in divine healing, but it perplexes me. I seek God about it all the time. He says, "Son, don't worry. Keep seeking me. Keep pressing in. Don't give up. The standard's perfection. You're not there." I said, "God, but I got to have this. This is a piece of who you are. I got to have this, Lord. And it's not enough for me to have it. I got to be able to share this." It's the rock of revelation. It's Jesus teaching you, showing you, making it real. I'll give you one example, and I know I got to wrap this up. I know I do. I got other gems. Maybe next time I preach, I'll go into some of the other gems that God gave me this week. But here's how the Lord does me, how he teaches me. Which one should I use, Lord? So I get up this yesterday morning. I got a funeral to do. The young man's 31 years old, had some problems in his life. He believed in Jesus. This young man lived in such bondage like in his life, and I love him. I don't want to say anything bad about him, but he could not get out of his door. He was afraid to get out of his door. When we keep backing away from the devil and life, do you know that's what happens to us? There are many people. I bet I could say, raise your hand. And there are people here, sometimes you struggle to get out the door because you don't want to face life. Anybody want to admit that? Let me admit it. Sometimes I feel that way. I don't want to face this, Lord. And he struggled with that. I got to do his funeral. And I was thinking about his life. And in the funeral, everybody was talking. We knew there was so much grace there. God loves this young man so much and all his imperfection and whatever failure he had. You know, that wasn't God's image for his life. That wasn't God's plan for his life. He never got past a lot of his limitations, but I know God loved that young man. And he cared about him. And I had to go do his funeral, and I wanted to be gracious, and it was really a blessing. And I was thinking, what am I going to say about this young man? In some ways, the world might say, like, he was a failure. God isn't telling me he's a failure. He was in process, and his process was cut short, and he'll finish his process in heaven. Someone say amen. Amen. I don't think it was God's best for him. I'm sure it wasn't, but he'll finish. I can only give him grace. But I was thinking about doing this funeral at 1 o'clock, and I had to cut my grass because we're going to play kickball tonight before we watch our movie, and had to get my grass cut. And wouldn't you know, I'm in a hurry. You ever get in a hurry? Amen. I'm going to end. I was in a hurry, and all of a sudden, guess what happens when you're in a hurry? The belt on my riding lawnmower snapped, or my zero turn snapped. I'm like, I got to get my yard cut. I got a funeral. I got a graduation party. Pam has to clean the church. And all these things are running through my mind. And the Holy Spirit says, Brad, remember that stuff I was teaching you about complaining? Yeah, I do, Lord. I won't complain. I'm not going to complain. Okay, good. Pam, guess what just happened, Pam? The lawnmower snapped. Oh, my goodness, I got to cut the grass. And honestly, the Lord's like, Brad, remember what I taught you about not complaining? Yeah, okay, I tried. I'm like you are. We're the same. I'm not Big Brad Pastor. I got it all figured out, and I got it all together. I'm just like you. I am hungry for God, and if you're not hungry for God, you're not like me. But I am hungry for God, but I don't have it all, but I'm still in process. I'm still, okay, Lord, I teach everybody, I got to do it myself. About 3 times I start complaining, and finally I just said, okay, Lord, I am not going to complain. I got a text back from a brother, and he's not home, he can't help me. Another brother's got problems, they can't. I'm helpless when it comes to tools. I'm like, it's pitiful. Would someone have mercy on me? I'm pitiful. Pam fixes stuff. I'm there, well, Pam, shouldn't you turn the screw this way? Brad, just get back. Let me figure it out. Okay, Pam, I'm sorry, but I'm interested. So I had asked this brother, and this brother, Richard, he's in Put-in Bay. Him and Maria are in Put-in Bay this weekend. So he couldn't help, and he's different, and I'm just like, okay. I said, this is how God teaches in my everyday life, and I'm going to try to end here, okay? In my everyday life, I said, okay, Lord, this is absolutely a principle in the Word of God. I teach it. I am not going to complain. Lord, you work everything out for the good. I need my grass cut. I don't know how it's going to get cut. I don't know who's going to help me. It all seems hopeless. But you know what? I praise you. I thank you. And no matter what, everything's going to be okay. I trust you, Jesus. And I'm not going to worry about it again. And if worry comes in my mind, I'm going to rebuke it and send it away. It'll be all right. I walk in the house literally within a minute. I walk in the house, look at my phone. Ding. Hey, Brad, I just thought, why don't you come over and borrow our zero turn? The key will be in it. It's right down the road, next street over. You just come and get it, and you can cut your grass. And when I get home, I'll put your belt on for you. Ding, 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 ding. Lord says, there you go, Brad. It happened within a minute. Now, I know everything doesn't happen within a minute. I know that. But that was the Lord teaching me. Sometimes trials take a while, don't they? Yep. But that was God teaching me instantly to show me, Brad, that's right. Don't complain. Put your faith in me. Everything's going to be taking the Word of God and applying it to that situation. I could give you 10 examples of that because all through my day, I'm processing with the Lord my life. I'm a witness, sir. I share Jesus, but not all the time. I fail, and the Lord will process that. But the Lord and me, we're always doing dialogue, and we're talking in my interactions with Pam. The Holy Spirit will get involved in it. He's always, and then... And I am closing. and I have so much more. I got a scripture I'll read as I close. And then I had a situation yesterday, and it wasn't anything brave or bold, but I just around people, and I felt like just bashful, believe it or not. I felt bashful, retired. I didn't interact well. I didn't feel like I represented well. I just felt kind of shy. And I was talking to Pam about it this morning, and she said, "Brad, do you know?" She goes, "That's how I always feel." She goes, "You don't understand. You people like you are, because you're the way you are, you don't understand." She goes, "That's how I always am." Right? And I said, "You know what? Us evangelists, we are that way sometimes. We expect everybody to be an evangelist. Everybody's not an evangelist. Everybody can share Jesus. You know, you're helping this week. That's Jesus, see? You're going to share Jesus this week. Sister's going to help. You have something to do as a part of this cog that's Jesus. And if you're at Grace Point, you have something to do here. You have something to do at home in your ministry in Mount Vernon. You guys have something to do." And she goes, I don't operate that way. And I really saw it like, I know, Lord, and I've known for a long time, we're not all the same. We're all in process. We're all on a journey. And that's why we give each other grace. That's why we honor the gifts in one another. We have people in this congregation that hear so good from God. And it's like, I know if they hear from God, they're going to tell me something like, "Oh, that's the Lord. That's a gift and a grace. I want it. You got something in you. I want to give you grace because I want grace back, right? I want grace back. So I'm going to give you grace." And the Lord talked to me, and I am ending. This is long. It's 12:15. I am so sorry. And I am ending. The Lord talked to me, Brad, about everyday courage. Courage to get out of your bed when you feel depressed and say, "Jesus, you're with me." Courage when you don't have the energy or the desire, you don't feel like you're going to make it. You've suffered loss. There's something, your boyfriend broke up with you. You've got a trial in your life. You've got some long-standing sickness that didn't get healed, and Brother Brad prayed for you 5 times, and your kids are rebelling, or whatever that problem is, you need God's everyday courage to get up. Everybody's not Smith Wigglesworth. I wish we were. Wouldn't be a sick person in the room. We'd be like an army, right? Maybe we'll get there. But every day, yeah, amen, I want to get there. It's not an excuse not to follow Jesus. Folks, the way that we follow Jesus is we have to follow him. We have to seek him and let him make the word of God come alive in our life. But if we don't put to action the things that God is teaching us, we're not going to grow. We're going to be hypocrites, and we're going to blame Mary Magdalene for her demons because we can't cast them out. And we're going to retire, and we're going to be afraid to face life because we're not learning the exchange that out of death comes life, out of surrender of your person, out of saying, "God, I can't do this on my own, but I know you can. I'll give you this, Lord. I just need you." Amen. Amen? I can't witness. I can't do it. Lord, I need you. I can't make this thing work, and I'm a hypocrite, and I'm a fraud. If you don't come in here and fill me up with power, I'm a fraud. I don't even have peace, and I'm telling people the 10 ways to get healed. I don't even have peace. I'm a fraud. Jesus, make me real. I act like I know everything, and I can't get out of my own sin. I humble myself. I can't help anybody because I can't help myself. Jesus, I guess you're going to have to live your life in me. Lord, if you don't do it, it ain't getting done. That gives us hunger and thirst to seek after Jesus. That gives us compassion on mercy on people that are struggling, knowing that the goal is perfection, knowing that the goal is way up here, but knowing that none of us have mastered it yet, not even your mom and dad. I heard one theologian, one really big prophet in the body of Christ, I just read all 5 of his kids voted a different party than he did. I call that a failure. My family's 50-50. Because we're all in process. This guy hears from Jesus, says he sees visions of Jesus and all this, and you've got 5 kids that don't even agree with you on life. I think none of us are there yet, are we? We're all in process. Folks, it's everyday courage. Whatever God's working in your life, whatever your part is, you got kids, you got things you're doing, whatever, don't back away, don't retreat. Don't let Satan steal the seed. Don't retire. Don't give up. Don't quit. People may reject you. People may misunderstand you. You may feel like a fraud. You may feel like a failure. But even, I wrote this down in my book. I wrote it down on the top page of my book. It says, Brad, you should not care what people think about you. What they think about you does not matter. And I'll tell you this, what you think about yourself doesn't even matter. What you think about you doesn't even matter. What God says about you is what matters. Amen? It's what God says about you that matters. You're in Christ. You're a new creation. And we put our faith there and say, God, sometimes I do, but Lord, you said this, and I'm going to hold on to that. And Jesus, I believe that you're worth seeking. I believe your life is a life worth living. Please, I die. I surrender. Come live inside of me. That's why I like the music this morning. It's all about that. It ministered to me. I'm going to read the scripture and close up. You can make that exchange with Jesus today. Jace, your prayer was perfect. Lord, help Brad get Brad out of the way. Jesus does everything perfect. You know they said about Jesus, he does all things well. So, if you ever do all things well, you'll know it was Jesus in you. Right. Amen? I always said, if it's bad, it's Brad. If it's good, it's God. And we really believe that. We have a lot of grace for one another. We won't be going around saying, unclean, unclean, they're unclean. Nah, they're unclean. Okay. Me and Brother Paul, we're working together. So here's what I want you to do. Romans 12, chapter 1. It's the Message Bible. I know it's not literal. I know they take license. You can read your Greek translation to get the accurate translation. You can go into the Septuagint or the Masoretic text. That's fine. But today I want to read this because it communicates the point that I want to make. The Message Bible. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. You're raising your kids, you're cooking supper, you're watching your grandbabies, taking care of your cats, or is that just a me thing? Place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted in your culture that you fit into that culture without even thinking about it. Instead, fix your attention on God. Get this, you'll be changed from the inside out. And that's what it's all about. When Jesus was glorified, see you, sis, I love you. When Jesus was glorified, it was an inside-out thing, wasn't it? He was glorified from the inside out. They saw him. I got stuff on that too. Can't go into it. Folks, so you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to be perfect, but you do need to be seeking the Lord. We do need to be making these daily surrenders, offering our life to God, allowing Him, look, Nicodemus, what he should have done, Linda, is said, lady, I can't help you. I want to. I don't know why I can't help you. And if he was honest, he'd look at her and say, I'm a fraud. Maybe he will in a later episode when he encounters Jesus. He said, I can't help you, but I want to. I'm praying for you. I want to help you, and I'm going to keep plugging away until I do. I'll be back tomorrow. I'll go pray, and I'll be back tomorrow, and I'll see if I can bring more of God with me. I left a lady in Haiti, and you were with me. Then remember that lady with AIDS? She died 2 weeks later, days later. It was sad. Woman in her 30s. You could tell she was once a pretty woman. Her kids were there in this little shack of a room. They're feeding her kids. I went in and prayed for her, laid hands on her, believed God, prayed for her, and she died. It was just desperately sad. You think that stops me from praying for people? No. It drives me to my prayer closet and say, God, help me. Let's pray. Father, we would see Jesus. We need to see Jesus. And I'm not talking, Lord, about making excuses for who we are. Lord, I'm talking about what Jesus' prayer today, Lord, making room for Jesus, admitting where we're at, being honest about it, but not staying where we're at. Lord, you always told your people, move forward, move forward, move forward. And I pray that this church, God, is moving forward as a congregation and as individuals. Lord, when we get slapped back, because Lord, I've been slapped back before by our enemy. I've been slapped back. Lord, that we have the courage, every day, courage to get up and face tomorrow. I pray we have the wisdom to know it comes from seeking you and putting you first. Lord, I bless the church today as we go. I pray for the church. I pray for everyone here and their families. I pray, Lord, for your grace and your mercy in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm up front. If you need prayer for anything, come get it. We'll pray with you.